powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Seahawks are looking for a new defensive coordinator. Now, according to the initial... Wow, try to say original and initial at the same time. That's a challenge. According to the original report from the Seattle Times, two names linked already are an in-house candidate, defensive line coach Clint Hurt. He's also the assistant head coach, and also an external candidate, Ed Donatell, defensive coordinator for the Broncos, though already a history with Pete Carroll there, all the way back to Pete Carroll's days at Pacific. Now, there have been since a couple other names linked to Seattle. Now, Jake wants to see three simultaneous defensive coordinators. He most definitely was pitching that, Jake. I think that's a wild idea. I don't know if it's going to happen, but you were pretty insistent that that was going to happen. Weird.
Uh-huh.
But there's been other names. You have Sean Desai, who's the defensive coordinator with the Bears. We're going to speak to someone from Chicago in about 30 minutes to get some insight on him. You've had Joe Witt Jr., defensive passing game coordinator with the Cowboys, linked to Seattle. And all of this goes to say, Jake, that the Seahawks are staying patient and doing their due diligence. And you said, yeah, as they should.
Yeah, they definitely should. And what they have to find is a number of different factors. They have to find a way to make sure that they are maximizing their talent with the right scheme fit. I do believe that Pete Carroll is in a position right now where he is looking at possibly being a little bit more flexible with the way that he approaches his defense with, you know, not, you know, playing the standard cover three, rush four, 4-3 approach, that there might be the opportunity to change here a little bit and still, you know, have the overall principles that Pete Carroll wants in a defense, mm-hmm. but to be able to have someone with a new fresh pair set of eyes, be able to make this, as Adam Jude reported, a more attack-minded defense. Well, if you're going to be a more attack-minded defense, then you have to play differently, and it requires a different scheme than what we've seen from Pete Carroll and this group for nearly over a decade. So that, to me, really is intriguing. And so that's something that you look at and you point to. But, you know, I think something that Matt Hasselbeck had talked about on the Matt Hasselbeck show with Mike Salk, and also from just my understanding and knowledge of Pete Carroll and who he is, I think the biggest part of it will be, you know, finding someone that is a great teacher. And I want to go to cut number 12 here, Curtis, in terms of what Matt Hasselbeck said. You know, Pete might value more than anything else.
I don't know that X's and O's is really what I think Pete will go for. I think it's going to be a little bit more the person, the teaching, the technique, the experience, how quickly and moldable and adaptable are they to in-game adjustments? How moldable are they to the personnel? Quite honestly, the personnel in Seattle is a little unique. You know, you have one safety that is really a great pass rusher, but that's about it. So you need to get him pass rushing and not stuck in man coverage too much. You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
So as I look at it, I think that one of the biggest aspects about it is being able to have the experience, number one, then also being able to be a great teacher. And Pete Carroll, just one of the things that he views himself as, and one of the things that I think he does so extremely well, is teaching, is communicating with his players. And that is something that, as you've watched this team over the last 4 years, particularly the last two, with this defense looking completely lost at times, there has been a definite disconnect in the way that things have been taught and the way things have been executed and the way things have been demanded. And so that has to change. And whoever this defensive coordinator is going to be the main figurehead, is going to be the main communicator of Pete Carroll, his message, and ultimately the direction of where this defense is going to go.
What do you think Pete Carroll's comfort level would be, though, bringing in someone from the outside who wasn't previously connected to him? So D.C. and Chicago connected to a system Pete Carroll clearly values, but I don't know that he's ever been working with Carroll. And then I don't think that Joe Witt Jr., who's been linked to the Seahawks, has worked with Pete Carroll.
No, he hasn't. He's somebody that's been, you know, heavily respected in NFL circles and, you know, longtime cornerback coach and past, you know, cornerback coach with Green Bay. So John Schneider knows him very well from his time in Green Bay. And then also, you know, the last four seasons has been a passing game coordinator with a variety of different teams. But, you know, one of the other things is that Joe Witt is one of the rumored names to take over for Dan Quinn if he was to get hired as a head coach, and it all looks like he will be a head coach somewhere this next season. So he's one of those main candidates. So obviously someone that is very respected in this industry. So the one thing that you do have to look at is recent history, Stacey. I mean, did we not witness Pete Carroll go outside of his normal comfort zone when he hired Shane Waldron this last year? I mean, you do have to give credit to that and to point to that and say that he is willing to go outside of his, you know, comfort zone or outside of what he does know personally to bring in, to try to bring in the best people. But this is also a different animal. It's one thing to talk about offense. It's another thing to talk about defense and Pete Carroll being a defensive-minded head coach, being someone who's heavily involved on the defensive side of things. That, to me, is where you could definitely question whether Pete Carroll wants to do that. But with the list of candidates that we have seen so far, I do believe that that is something you could absolutely see. And I don't think it's by accident that you have Ed Donatell and Sean Desai come from a very similar coaching tree and have, you know, great track records with their experience.
Can I get back to that sound from Matt Hasselbeck? Not to play it, but just to say, he says, look, it's less about X's and O's. Every DC interview will know that. It's about how, you know, how those turnovers increase and how you can teach and how you can get back. Is there anything when it actually does come to X's and O's, when it actually does come to what you'd like to see the Seahawks do, is there anything that you would hope a defensive coordinator would bring?
Yeah, what I hope that they would bring is a way and ability to get the most out of Jamal Adams. I view that Jamal Adams is a player that is extremely dynamic. He has the ability to really be one of the best defensive players in football with the level of impact that he brings. I view him as a Micah Parsons type of player with his ability to generate tackles for loss, with his ability to generate sacks, with his ability, you know, in pass coverage. Not saying that it's elite, but he is so multiple. He can do many things for a defense that it can be an asset, but you have to use him correctly. And that's why Gus Bradley was a name that I put out there, was not because of the 4-3 cover 3 principles that he typically runs with his defense, but go back to his days with the Chargers when he had a very similar player in Derwin James that he used in a hybrid role and did a very good job moving him around, being effective in blitz packages and making Derwin James a really dynamic safety in the league before he had all the injury issues. You know, Gus Bradley has a history of being able to do that and knowing how to get the most out of those guys. So I don't know what Ed Donatell's plan would be. I don't know what Sean Desai's plan or Clint Hurd or Joe Witt Jr. But that, to me, is one of the biggest keys that I would be looking at and changing and morphing this defense from being a soft zone team to being more of a match zone team, which all that means in a very simplified version for everyone out there. There's way more to it, but in a simplified version is there are more man-to-man principles within your zone schemes than there are, you know, typical you know, drop back zone where you're just, you know, pedaling backwards and your eyes are to the quarterback. You are being very aggressive in your pass coverage. And that's something that I think that needs to change. And Stacey, the only way that you can effectively change that and make it work is if you have a great pass rush.
All right. Once again, Sean Desai, a defensive coordinator for the Bears, has been linked to the Seattle Seahawks. That report from Michael Sean Dugar of The Athletic. Now, we don't know whether or not the Seahawks have already interviewed him. We do know the Seahawks have been linked to a couple different guys, including Ed Donatell, defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, and also defensive passing game coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys named Joe Witt Jr. So a couple different guys linked to Seattle. However, you want to learn more about them, right? Well, we're going to learn a bit more about Sean Desai with the Bears. We're going to be joined by Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times in about 15 minutes. So we're going to ask him, like, hey, hypothetically, who's Desai as the defensive coordinator? What would he bring to Seattle? And I'm very, very curious because to me, Jake, he seems like the most far removed from anything I would expect Seattle to bring in. And I'm not like surprised to see Seattle linked to him. I just have been operating under the assumption that this is Pete Carroll's defense, any hire is in-house. So I'm very curious to see, what Sean Desai is like and whether or not he'd be a fit. So, again, that's coming up in about 15 minutes.
The more I learn about him and the opportunity that we have to learn about him, I become more and more excited about the possibility of Sean Desai. So I'm really looking forward to this interview here coming up at 12:30.
I'm going to be really honest, you guys. I know that initially some of you are going to be like, why would I care about this? But there was a bonkers end of season interview with the owner/chairman George McCaskey with the Chicago Bears. If you didn't hear about it, I am going to ask Patrick about that too, because it is absolutely insane. And if you need something to put in context, like maybe how not crazy Seattle's situation is, yeah, very curious to hear about that. So again, that's coming up at 12:30. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by the Pro Club. And don't forget, you guys, you can listen to us on the go or catch up with the show. If you miss it, subscribe to the Jake and Stacey podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Please don't forget to rate and review if you do subscribe. Thank you from all of us. We really, really appreciate it. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, speaking of that defensive coordinator search, you can add Cowboys assistant Joe Witt Jr. to the pile of candidates that the Seahawks have requested permission to speak to. What's the real headline?
Considering that a lot of us are expecting the Seahawks to promote from within, credit them for doing their due diligence in the search for their new DC.
Yeah, I
just
definitely
a very
understand.
Honest headline for that one.
I do understand that there's a lot of sentiment about Clint Hurt, and ultimately that might be the way that they end up going. But the only way that I see this is whether it's going to be, if they hire Clint Hurt, that it would be co-defensive coordinators with somebody like Ed Donatell, or you have somebody like Sean Desai that comes in from the outside. But one thing remains, that they are all part of the Vic Fangio coaching tree and school of thought in recent years. And I think that is intriguing to me in terms of Pete Carroll identifying a style of defense that he truly respects and he likes and he wants to tap more into. Joe Witt Jr. is somebody that's a little bit different in terms of his perspective, but someone that is very well-respected in NFL circles. So I love the fact that they are continuing to prolong this search. There's not really a real reason to rush to a decision at this current time. So I want to see them do their due diligence. I want to see how this whole thing shakes out for this coaching search. But that to me is what really is exciting. And the more I learn about Sean Desai, the more I become very, very intrigued by him and like him and think that he has a lot of qualities that Pete Carroll would be really interested in going after. But this, make no mistake, personnel decisions, all the other pieces to the puzzle of building a championship team, this is a huge piece to the puzzle in terms of finding the right guy, the right voice to lead that defense in conjunction with Pete Carroll.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number two, Eagles general manager Howie Roseman says he expects Jalen Hurts to be the team's starting quarterback in 2022. What's the real headline?
Real headline? A team that might have been interested in Russell Wilson is committing to their young quarterback. Now, we saw this trade proposal from Daniel Jeremiah, a few other people talking about it, because the Eagles have quite a few first-round picks, not just this year, but obviously in the future. So people were wondering, well, is this a potential landing spot for Wilson? Because the Seahawks can take those first-rounders and rebuild, and you get a couple first-rounders there. However, it looks like no, because much like last year when Russell Wilson's agent said, oh, we'd be willing to go to Chicago or the Saints or the Raiders or whatever, or Cowboys, you quickly saw some moves there. So this is taking something. Russell Wilson's agent hasn't been linked to Philly, but it is taking one of those teams that Russell Wilson has been linked to off the table.
Yeah, I would say outside people linking them to this conversation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If there were places that could make sense or places that had the draft capital to be able to pull off a trade. Philly's definitely one of those teams. And I think this is a smart move for Philly. They don't need to go after somebody like Russell Wilson. I think that they have an answer. They don't have a, you know, the same level of player at this current time in Jalen Hurts with Russell Wilson, but they do have a very good quarterback who is capable of growing into something more and has the unique ability to extend plays with his legs and do it in a, at a dynamic level. And he's a huge reason why Philly was even in the playoffs to begin with, Stacey. So what Philly needs to do is they need to build their roster around this young quarterback. They need to overall have a better roster. And with the opportunity that's in front of them, I mean, look at it. They've got three mid-round picks. That's a tremendous opportunity and start for them to get right. I mean, could you imagine right now if Seattle had that type of draft capital? I mean, we would be thrilled. We'd be so excited about what type of impact they could find on their roster and how big of a difference that could make for their team. So ultimately, I think this is the right move by Howie Roseman, and let's see how successful they can be in the draft and ultimately surround Jalen Hurts with better talent.
Headline rewrite.
Headline number three, Fox Sports' is Bruce Feldman reporting last night that people within the Michigan football program believe that head coach Jim Harbaugh would, in fact, leave for the Raiders job if offered. What's the real headline?
Leave it to the Raiders to make a flashy hire, but unlike Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, this could actually work. Now, part of that's obviously because Jim Harbaugh has been there before. He's been a head coach and been a successful NFL head coach, but he's just got a style of coaching that feels more complementary to how you can succeed in the NFL. And I wonder what that staff would look like in Vegas. And Jake, we talked about this earlier. Do they keep Derek Carr, no matter who they bring in at head coach? Do they keep Derek Carr?
If I'm Jim Harbaugh, unless I have a clear vision and plan as to an athletic quarterback that I think I could win with and try to recreate what he did with Colin Kaepernick, I'm sticking with Derek Carr. Derek Carr is a quarterback that isn't elite to the point where he is going to put a team on his back and win you football games, but he's certainly good enough to get you to a Super Bowl. I view him as a Jimmy G type, a little bit more talented than Jimmy G. And he can be a winner. He can be a good voice and leader for your organization, but you've got to build your roster up around him in order to make that happen. So that's going to be a unique discussion and conversation for someone like Jim Harbaugh, who Derek Carr is coming towards the end of his contract, and I don't know what type of contract Derek Carr believes he thinks he deserves. So that is definitely one other element to that conversation if Jim Harbaugh was to eventually take over the Raiders' job.
Now, let me get back to that press conference for the Bears. Now, the reason that I mentioned it is, again, we're going to be talking with Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times in about 10 minutes away from that. And we're going to be talking to him about the defensive coordinator that's been linked to Seattle. But it's interesting. I don't want to tell anyone how to be a fan. And I always feel really hypocritical because I am so critical, telling people, like, just be glad you're not this team. But how do you not look at where the Bears are and feel just a little bit like a sense of, hey, it could always be worse, right? It's the same thing that you have looking at like a team like the Houston Texans. Now, the Bears are a storied franchise, much like the Giants. So even though they've struggled, they aren't seen as like a complete and total meltdown the way Houston is. But that press conference, if nothing else, highlighted that like it's important to have an owner who wants to win. Like an owner who is in the business of winning.
Yes. And, the Bears don't give that vibe at all after that owner press conference that was had at the end of the year. And that's the thing is, you know, Stacey, it goes to show, though, when you say that, it doesn't mean you can't have complaints. It doesn't mean you can't have frustrations with the organization that you cheer for and as a Seahawk fan. But what you can say is, we have our own issues, but at least we're not dysfunctional. At least we're not completely and utterly in a spot where we could perpetually be at the bottom. And that's where you look at organizations like the Chicago Bears, potentially, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Houston Texans, the New York Jets. You know, you are not in that same realm as these other franchises, and you could be grateful for that.
Now, a final point here, again, just before we take a very, very quick break, is Mike Salk. Do you guys remember he put out a poll a couple days ago of, you know, without considering any names, what qualities are you most looking for in the Seahawks' next defensive coordinator? The choices were youth and creativity, familiarity with scheme, a different scheme than Pete Carroll, or communication with players. Guess the number one response, like by a landslide.
Different scheme?
Nope. Youth and creativity.
Really?
The vast majority, over 50% of people that voted, almost 2,000 people, wanted youth and creativity in the new Seahawks defensive coordinator. I'm wondering if Sean Desai, who's just 38 years old, falls into that category. Like, I'm wondering if he is someone that would satisfy that kind of like desire that Seahawks fans would like to see. I have no idea who he is as a defensive coordinator. We're going to learn in a couple minutes, but as far as being youthful, he's got to be like one of the youngest candidates being considered by Seattle. So again, lots of questions here about Sean Desai, about what's going on in Chicago. Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times is going to join us next to tell us about the latest candidate linked to the Seahawks. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
The Seahawks have been linked to Sean Desai, defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. So who is he and what kind of defensive coordinator is he? Who better to ask than Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times? He covers the Bears and joins us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Patrick, how's it going?
I'm good. How about you guys?
We're well, thanks. I mean, this is kind of new territory. Not completely. We've seen changes at coordinator here, but not for at least a couple years. And we've all been operating under the assumption, Patrick, that Pete Carroll is going to stick with guys he knows. But Sean Desai, I hope I'm saying that right, doesn't necessarily seem like someone who's been with Pete Carroll. I mean, before we get started, what can you tell us about Sean?
Well, yeah, and you're right. You know, he's not Ed Donatelli. He didn't work with him at Pacific in, what, 1983 or whatever that was. But, yeah, no, Sean Desai just finished his first season as defensive coordinator. He managed to do something that I think is really rare in the game. He has worked for the last three Bears head coaches. He was brought in by Mark Trestman, worked for John Fox, and then worked for Matt Nagy. He was respected enough around the building that when Vic Fangio got the Broncos head coaching job 3 years ago, he tried to take Sean, and Sean was still under contract, and Matt Nagy put his foot down and said no. Said no, we're going to keep him. He was the safeties coach the last couple of years, got promoted to defensive coordinator this season. And, you know, at the very least, you have to think that Pete got a pretty good look at the kind of defense that the Bears played the day after Christmas in the snow up in Seattle.
Now, the one thing that I'm very curious about from your perspective, Patrick, is what do you make of Sean Desai's, you know, season as a defensive coordinator, what he was able to produce, and what type of coach is he?
He's a teacher. That's the short answer. Mm. He's somebody who, as an assistant coach with the Bears, taught night school business courses. Graduate-level business courses down the street from the Bears facility because
what?
He likes teaching. Yes, absolutely true. Yep, and it's because he's an education guy. It's always been important to him. He's got a master's, and he likes teaching and connecting with people. So, yeah, he taught master's-level business courses at Lake Forest College, and that's very much how he approaches coaching too. You know, you spend five minutes with him and you learn that, you know, he really gets a kick out of the classroom sessions with players and with trying to make that connection to teach. Now, in terms of this season, I thought he had a pretty good year, but, you know, you've got a Bears defense that's got a lot of veterans that, you know, might not have needed all of the teaching from the ground up. Mm. You know, and maybe Sean would have been a little better off with some young guys to mold there. But really, you know, he produced Robert Quinn, who set the Bears all-time sacks record for a single season this year. You know, and he managed to do it without Khalil Mack, who was hurt for most of the year. Jalen Johnson at corner is one of the better young corners in the league. So, you know, he had some flashes, even though I think the Bears finished sixth in yards, but 22nd in points on the defensive side. You know, those are pretty run-of-the-mill numbers.
I know he started as the safety coach, so he's been with Chicago since, what, 2013 or so, but obviously only recently the defensive coordinator. Have you talked to players about what kind of their reaction and relationship has been with him?
Yeah, you know, players were excited to see him get the job. The Bears interviewed something like 11 coordinator candidates last offseason after Chuck Pagano retired. And, you know, the Bears players were happy to see Sean get it. You know, I think we've all seen before that usually players are happy to see somebody who they know get promoted. I'm not sure that that's always a bellwether of whether or not it was a good decision. But, you know, Sean held his own. The timing of this is just bad for him because I think, you know, with another year or two to really grow into the position, I think Sean would have been a really good defensive coordinator here. And I think he still may be, you know, wherever he ends up. Mm. You know, it's just hard. You know, Matt Nagy got fired because Matt Nagy's offense didn't work. The defense was fine. And you know, it looks like he's going to be, part of the breakup. But, you know, I can't imagine that the Bears would bring him back if they're going to rebuild completely with a new GM and a new coach here.
Yeah.
Now, Patrick, just out of curiosity, what is the fan base in Chicago? What are they after? What do they want as the next head coach? Which I'm sure you've got,
Patrick,
some wide-ranging
opinions. Patrick, I can
tell
it's going to be a good answer because you're already laughing.
I mean, a lot of them want Jim Harbaugh, and I don't know how realistic that is. You know, there's not a slam dunk candidate here. Now, I'm not sure there's a slam dunk candidate for any of the 8 open jobs out there right now. You know, George McCaskey, as the Bears chairman, talked about wanting a leader. And you know, I interpreted that as he's not going to just go get the best offensive coordinator he can find and call him the head coach, which is what they did when they hired Matt Nagy. But he really needs somebody with a plan for Justin Fields. And, you know, I don't know, you know, if you look toward a defensive mind, I don't know that you can count on them having a plan for Justin Fields unless they, you know, show up with the best staff possible when they're pitching you on the job. Bears fans, just because, you know, they have sometimes unrealistic expectations, to put it nicely.
What?
No way. There are still people here who think that, you know, the Bears defense is what they're known for. You know, think that the Bears should just try to win every game 17-13. And that's just not the way the modern NFL works anymore. You know, if it were me, my suggestion is get somebody who can make Justin Fields the best quarterback humanly possible, because, you know, he's got a decent chance of being the most talented quarterback the Bears have had in their 100+ years, you know, of existence. And you got to get him there. You know, and if you look around the NFL, the teams with the quarterback have a chance and the teams without one don't, no matter how good their defense is.
Hey.
And the Bears, in a way, proved that. In 2018, you know, they have the best defense on the planet. They lead the league in takeaways. They lose in the first round of the playoffs to the Eagles because their quarterback was Mitch Trubisky and he was just okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Patrick, out of curiosity, now, from the outside looking in, I was hearing about the George McCaskey press conference and not having any, like, solid understanding of the media landscape there or kind of, like, his relationship. It seemed kind of weird. What was it like being in that press conference, and did you have the same feeling?
And it's not the first time it's been weird, I can tell you that. George does one of these at the end of every season. This year has been unusual because we had not talked to him since the previous press conference a year ago.
Okay.
And during that span, the Bears decided to try to buy land 20 miles from downtown to build a new stadium. Like there are very legitimate things that the owner or the chairman should have been talking about during the course of the year. And they just decided that the less he said, the better. So when they trot him out to explain, you know, why they've decided to make a move, you know, the subtext there is that he's got a lot of questions to answer, you know, both about, you know, the coach, the GM, the direction of the team, and also where they're going to be playing in 5 years. And these are things that fans, you know, obviously care a lot about just from their day-to-day lives and you know, big picture stuff like the direction of the team. So, yeah. So he had a lot to handle. He talked for an hour. Power. There were some sound bites that I'm sure they'd like to have back, but I will tell you this. They have a president here. His name is Ted Phillips. They decided to keep him in his current role, even though he's not a law guy. He's been here since 1999 in the same role, and the Bears have really had a hard time getting traction during that period. Last year, Ted Phillips said, and this is almost a direct quote, that, you know, they don't have a quarterback and they're not winning enough games. But other than that, everything is going fine.
The house is on fire, but other than that.
So that's part of the context of why it was such an event. I'll put it that way. When George talked, is that usually these things produce things that make Bears fans less optimistic than they were when the press conference started. And I think that was certainly the case last week when he did it.
All right, Patrick, little did I know I'd have so much fun talking about a team, not the Seahawks. You've been an absolute blast. We really appreciate you joining us and for telling us so much about Sean Desai. We didn't know much about him. I feel like we learned a lot from this. So thanks again for the time.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thank you.
See ya.
Thanks, Patrick.
He is Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. By the way, the defensive passing game coordinator to the Cowboys, Joe Witt Jr., who's been linked to the Seahawks. We're going to have Jory Epstein, who's a Cowboys reporter for USA Today, joining us at the top of the hour to tell us a bit more about Joe. So we're getting some insight into both coordinators, one being an assistant, defensive assistant, both defensive guys linked to the Seahawks for that open position. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by the Pro Club. Taking a look around the rest of the NFL next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right, let's take a look around the rest of the NFL. I'm just debating which story to start with. I'm going to start with this one. Friend of the show, Greg Rosenthal of NFL Network, has a list of his picks for the divisional round weekend. It's up on NFL.com. He's got upsets in 3 of 4 games, okay? So I'm going to start with, I'm going to start with the one upset he doesn't have. Just guess it before I say it. Guess which game isn't going to be an upset.
Guess which game is not going to be an upset.
So you've got Niners, Packers, Rams, Bucks, Bills, Chiefs.
I'm going to say that the one that he doesn't have on there is San Francisco beating Green Bay.
Incorrect.
What?
Greg Rosenthal chooses the Tennessee Titans, number one seed in the AFC, to prove everyone wrong that they can absolutely hang with the best. They beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Every other game is an upset. He takes San Francisco 23-22 over the Green Bay Packers. The Rams 23-20 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Buffalo Bills. Would we call this an upset? Two pretty equally matched teams that are just 2-3, but Buffalo Bills 34-31 over the Chiefs. Close games, too. A much better weekend of football if that ends up happening.
Well, it certainly would be. I mean, it would be a lot of fun. It would be crazy. But I do also agree with Greg to some extent that I believe that all of these games should be significantly better than what we witnessed over the wild card weekend. I mean, it was basically all blowouts except for, what, 2 games? Right?
Yeah.
And so I think that these games are going to be incredibly close, going to be incredibly competitive, and pretty evenly matched, to be honest with you. I even with the 49ers, I don't believe that they're going to beat the Green Bay Packers, but their style of play allows and creates the opportunity for a close game. So I think this is going to be a wildly fun weekend, and this is the time of year that I enjoy the most because this is where you really start to see and formulate your opinions as to who really has the best chance of making it to the Super Bowl and who shows their stuff. This is going to be so much fun. I can't wait. I'm so excited for the Bills Chiefs game, guys. Like, I am ready for my popcorn. I am just hoping that we're not all disappointed. It's like a, 13-10 type of game with a whole bunch of turnovers.
I don't think it will be. What if the best game from the weekend is 49ers-Packers? What if that's the best game from the weekend?
It could be. I mean, look, in my opinion, the best game of the weekend was the Dallas-San Francisco game.
49ers. Well, it was the closest.
Yeah. It was the funnest. There was some back and forth to it. There was the most drama in the game. So, I would love that. And honestly, I would not be surprised if that was the case.
All right, well, let me get you some injury updates for the first game on the slate. The first game on Saturday between the Cincinnati Bengals and number one seed Tennessee Titans. We'll start on Cincinnati side, where defensive end Trey Hendrickson, the team's leading pass rusher, will be available. He cleared concussion protocol. Good news for Cincinnati. On Tennessee's side, head coach Mike Vrabel says the Titans will make a decision on Derrick Henry on Friday. As a reminder, Derrick Henry had surgery to repair an injury to his foot after week 8, so he's missed, well over half the season, hasn't played since week 8. Now, Vrabel says he's progressing well since returning to practice, but he won't commit yet on whether or not he'll play. So Derrick Henry a maybe, Trey Hendrickson for Cincinnati a yes.
Well, Trey Hendrickson, getting him back is huge. That adds to that pass rush that's been so good for Cincinnati. I mean, all the focus has been on Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase for good reason, but Cincinnati doesn't get enough credit for the type of defense that they have played over the course of the season. They've been good. They've been good, and they've had a very good pass rush throughout the entire year. But when it comes down to Derrick Henry playing, I mean, that's the whole idea of, for me personally, for the Tennessee Titans to win this game. Man, if Derrick Henry comes back, then I think that Mike Lefko could feel pretty good about the Lefko versus Justin Barnes
bowl
that we have
going on. We forgot to tell them to make a good bet. We absolutely forgot. We need to, mental note, we need to do that. Let me get back to
one
of our headlines here.
They have to get it done by tomorrow.
I know. Let me get back to one of our headlines here. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, and Howie Roseman have both publicly committed to Jalen for the future. Here's what Sirianni said, quote, "Jalen knows where he stands with us. There's no secrets there. He knows he's our guy." Jake, to your point of view, from your eyes, just watching this team, is Jalen Hurts their guy?
Yes, and he should be. I absolutely believe that. I mean, since the second half of this season, he's really taken off and has been one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, why they were in the playoffs to begin with. So I think Jalen Hurts has the capability to be a guy that can get them consistently in the playoffs. And if they build the right team around him and build a strengthened up roster, who knows what they can accomplish. So I think that the job of Howie Roseman is to not look for a quarterback, but is to find the answers as to how they can build a better roster around Jalen Hurts, because he has unique ability, and he has unique ability that allows their run game to be dynamic and different and difficult to defend. So overall, I think it's the right decision. And I don't believe that they have a roster, Stacey. Like, when you trade for someone like Russell Wilson, you're either saying, we are completely rebuilding our team, and this is our guy that we're going to build around and all of that for years down the road, or you're saying, we have the roster and the capability to win now, therefore we need to make a trade. I don't believe the Eagles are in that position like some other teams can claim. And so I just don't think it would be advantageous for them to try and get into that if it even was a possibility to begin with.
All right, last story here concerns Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians and has nothing to do with the games themselves, rather what happened in a game from wildcard weekend. Bruce Arians was caught on camera on the sidelines, like swatting at a player's head, drew some controversy there. Now, he didn't draw a penalty in the game, but the NFL has fined him $50,000 for striking that player. That player was safety Andrew Adams. By the way, Bruce Arians says that he'll appeal it. Quote, "It ain't got nothing to do with the game, so we're good." Arians of all responses.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when you're talking about, this situation, you can't have double standards here in this area. If you were upset and mad and frustrated with what Jimmy Lake did, and then you're turning around and not saying the same thing about Bruce Arians just because it was a different situation, or he hit him in a different spot, back of the head versus, in the face mask. You're lying and you're kidding to yourself. There's no place in this in football, especially in today's game. The Bruce Arians knows better, and I think it was a really, really dumb thing of him to do, and it's completely unnecessary. You can get in his face, you can yell at him, you could be upset,
right,
but don't strike your players in the head. Like, what are you doing? Even if they have a helmet on, There's no room for it.
I'm so sorry, you guys. There's actually one more story here. This is exclusively for Curtis Rogers and Jimmy Graham updates.
Oh.
Jimmy Graham, finalist for the Salute to Service Award. Curtis, your thoughts on the greatest tight end in Seahawks history?
I mean, give him every award.
Exactly,
we should
right.
have just spent our entire interview with Patrick Finley talking about how great Jimmy Graham is.
Yeah, that's
Patrick,
exactly what I think.
Is Jimmy Graham the best tight end in NFL history?
Is he deserving of every trophy, even at the collegiate level, too?
I think so. They retroactively award him the Heisman Trophy for his 1 year at Miami.
All right. Well, that will do it for NFL headlines. And we are going to stay with the NFL, but it'll be how the Seahawks fill that role at defensive coordinator. So we talked with Patrick Finley of Chicago. He covers the Bears. He told us what we need to know about Sean Desai, who, by the way, Jake, is a teacher. That's what you wanted in a defensive coordinator, someone who could be a teacher. Sounds like he fits that role. I know you were getting excited. Now we're going to speak with Jordan Epstein, who's a Cowboys reporter for USA Today, about Joe Witt Jr., the newest name linked to the Seahawks. That's coming your way next.